In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we celebrate the holy apostle and evangelist Matthew, and so one of the readings is for him. And it has a very important direction from the Lord. We must listen to his directions. None of them are superfluous. He says something to us here. They who are strong have no need of a physician, but they who are ill. But go and learn what this is. I wish mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He emphasizes it. Go and learn. Which means it's not something that you can just listen to in a lecture and you know it. It means you must experience it. It is your life experience which teaches you what he wants you to know. And what he wants you to know is he desires mercy, not sacrifice. Well, of course, the merciful love, and God is love. So what he's teaching you here, what he's teaching us, is focus your life on learning to love. You can't focus enough on this. That's why he emphasizes, go and learn. He could have just said, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and just quoted Hosea. But instead, he emphasizes, because we don't know how to love. Not very well at all. In the talk yesterday by Papa Demetrios, he gave examples of how we should try to subdue our will. And if you look carefully at every single one of them, the practical examples, I think he had ones for traffic and ones for interactions with people, and I forgot the other one, but they were all basically where we have to make a decision. Are we going to act with love or not? And we have to subdue our will to act with love, because our will does not like to love anyone except ourselves. And so it is a process. If you listen carefully to his examples, you could probably come up with many others in your own life. There's many times in daily life where we must subdue our will, and our will wars against us, and ironically for us, or for a certain conception of us, for our desires, and we must war against it by loving others. It's the operative thing. And why should we love others? Well, because, of course, we love him because he loved us. But at the end of this commandment, and it is a commandment, it's not a suggestion, it's not a teaching, it's a commandment. Go and learn what this is. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. He says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So this is attached or to this commandment. We must understand this as well to understand the commandment. Well, if we understand it well, we know that we're not righteous, and therefore God is calling us as sinners to repentance. And we can extrapolate pretty easily because we have a brain. We are rational sheep. God has given us this wisdom, at least, to know that other men are sinners, and God is calling them. And in that way, we are not different than any man. And so if we recognize in ourselves that we are sinners and God is calling us, then we should recognize that others are sinners and God is calling them, and that God desires their salvation as much as he desires ours. Therefore, we could understand what it means to desire mercy and not sacrifice. To desire with him desiring mercy and not sacrifice. That is, he wishes us to love others above all things, because we should love him above all. And the sacrifice part would be the formalism of our life. Remember, Jewish sacrifice was an intensely formal activity. Many different sacrifices for many different things. And truly, There was deep meaning to these sacrifices, but for the most part, people did them because they were according to form, what they should do. And that was not the intent of the law. The intent of the law was to teach us mercy. Therefore, the primary thing that we must do in our life is learn to be merciful. That's why I've told you many times, if you can't stop sinning, at least be kind. That's the most important thing. And it's also interesting that when our Lord gives this command is when he is calling a sinful man. Because Matthew was a tax collector, which means that he was a sinner. He was a thief of his own people, because the tax collectors were basically paid thieves by the state of Rome. They collected, but they collected extra, and Rome knew that. So they got rich, Rome got rich, everybody was happy, except for the widows and the orphans and the poor. And so he calls a sinful man, and people are offended by this, because they are looking only at the sacrifice part of their religion. You're not supposed to be with sinners and tax collectors. Certainly not sit down to table with them. You'd be defiled. But the Lord tells us the inner meaning of our life, what he wants us to do. He wants us to be merciful because he is merciful to us. That is the meaning of his commandment. Above all, be merciful to people. And I think, really, Papa Demetrius gave excellent instructions in how to learn to be merciful. He didn't specifically say, this is how you learn to love people, but it is the path. To learn to subdue your own will, to not look for convenience, to look for the little ways in life that you can give your will over to another person. Not just the person that deserves it, not that just the person that you're fond of, but the one you don't like, the one that hurts you, maybe the stranger that's acting like an idiot. Those are the people that you must give your will to. And then you learn to be truly merciful. And then God abides in your heart. Nothing can hurt you. Nothing can stop you. Now, the other gospel, the gospel for the day, is about the unrighteous steward. It's one of the most peculiar parables of the entire scripture. He commends someone who's dishonest. He commends someone who steals from his Lord. Well, parables can be kind of funny that way. He's making a point that the unrighteous focus on their unrighteous ways with great diligence. How much do we focus on learning to be merciful and not just give sacrifice? That's the point of that parable. Not, of course, commending that someone would steal from his Lord, but commending that he's shrewd and that he's doing something necessary for his survival. Are you shrewd? Are you going to do things necessary for your survival, for your salvation? Are you going to spy out today opportunities to subdue your will? Are you going to be kind to someone when they say something that's not kind? Are you going to button your lips when you feel like saying something in kind to them? Are you going to pray for others? This will show, if you do those things, that you're like that steward. Now, we're already sinful, so we're like the steward in that way. Let's be like him in dedication. Not dedication to evil things, but dedication to good. And it's shameful to us that we are not dedicated to good. It's shameful to us that our society is inundated with evil, both evil deeds and evil rhetoric about those deeds. And for the most part, we don't do too much. There should be 10,000 Christians on the sidewalks in front of abortion clinics every day. But we let this evil go by. Very few of us go to pray before these places. We're not like the steward. We might say, well, you know, I believe this and I believe that, and this should be and that should be. But what are we doing? Maybe we're going to work, going home, having coffee in the morning, watching a TV show at night. And then when we go to bed, we say, I didn't have any time to read the gospel. I'll do it next time. Oh, I forgot to do that thing that Father Seraphim told me I should do. I'll do that tomorrow. Or Father Seraphim tells himself, I didn't do the thing that I thought I really should do today, as he goes to bed. We're not like the steward. We're unrighteous like him, but we're not shrewd like him. I thought it was very good that Papa Dimitri said those examples about everyday living, because really that's where you win your salvation, brothers and sisters. By detail, in how you interact with God's creatures, his beloved. And so you must be shrewd like the steward. You must look for opportunities to better yourself. Not to better yourself in terms of getting richer or more influential, but to better yourself in your soul becoming wider and brighter. I guarantee you, if you look hard today, you'll see lots of them. I see one every time I go by the kitchen just about, because I see dishes. Sometimes, literally, none of the dishes are mine. Sometimes, more than a few are. Every time's an opportunity to humble my will. Lots of examples like that. And that's not interacting directly with human beings. That's the hardest part. Find a way that when you interact with your fellow man, with God's beloved, to be like the steward. To, as it were, give something to them. And then they might not be kind to you, but God will be. So you see that these two Gospels, of course, by God's providence, are tied together. If you want to learn what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, then you must be like the steward. You must be shrewd. You must look for opportunities. You must be searching for opportunities every day. That's what it means. Go and learn what this means. You're not going to learn it in a book. Even if you have 10 books, you will learn it by doing it and by searching out and being shrewd like the steward. So God help us to be shrewd like this steward. And God help us to learn this commandment which the Lord has given us to know what it means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. God bless you.